In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon texts this Easter are Exodus 14 and 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Mark chapter 15. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a great and powerful enemy that stands before God's people Israel as they camp on the banks of the Red Sea at the twilight of the Exodus. It is an enemy that has plagued them for some 400 years. For 400 years, Israel has suffered at the hands of the Egyptians, who have afflicted them with taskmasters into a life of slavery, forced march, forced labor, bondage, chains, bloodshed, and servitude. But up until now, they have not witnessed the full power, the full might of their enemy. But all of that looks like it's about to change. 600 of Egypt's elite soldiers, mounted upon their mighty chariots and horses, watch as the waters of the Red Sea are split into two, and Israel begins marching through it on dry ground. Moses gives us a vivid depiction of what is running through the minds of the enemies as they watch. It is as if they are standing on the banks with their mouth wide open, foaming, salivating, rubbing their hands together, clenching their fists, gritting their teeth, and waiting. Just waiting to pounce. For the enemy said, "I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them." The enemy, who is stronger than they are, is waiting to consume them, waiting to swallow them whole. There is a great and powerful enemy that stands before God's people, you and I, as we live our life in the twilight of Good Friday. It is an enemy that has plagued us for far longer than 400 years. An enemy that has plagued us since nearly the beginning. Since the beginning, when Adam and Eve stretched out their hand and ate from the tree in disobedience, in sin, from the knowledge of good and evil, of which they were commanded not to eat from. Sin entered this world through one man, Adam. And through sin came our greatest, fiercest enemy: death. At the hands of death, we have suffered as we have watched our loved ones afflicted with faces that wrinkle and shrivel up, hairs that turn gray, mobility that is lost to canes and walkers and wheelchairs. We have watched our loved ones afflicted with horrible diseases and illnesses: cancer, AIDS, Parkinson's disease, coronary artery disease, congestive heart failure, Alzheimer's, dementia, multiple sclerosis. But up until now, you and I have not witnessed the full power and might of our enemy. That can only be witnessed at the hour of death, when you stand at the foot of your loved one's bedside and you see their breathing growing shallow, becoming labored, their heart rate slowing, their eyes glossing over, and this sharp, distinctive gurgling sound in the back of their throat. Then you see the enemy death itself standing over them with its mouth wide open, foaming, salivating, rubbing its hands together, clenching its fists, gritting its teeth, and waiting, just waiting to pounce, saying, "I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil, and my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them." And we know, we know that our enemy is stronger than we are. For we know that the wages of our sin is death. We know that there will come a time when we ourselves must face our greatest enemy. A time when death itself will stand over us. Death is the fiercest and most powerful of enemies who waits to consume everyone. Even you, who waits to swallow us whole. And nowhere is that seen more clearly than in the twilight of Good Friday. For on the twilight of Good Friday, after our Lord had been beaten, bruised, and bloodied, after he had been hanged on the cross and cried out in agony, death opened wide, foaming, salivating, rubbing its hands together, clenching its fists, gritting its teeth, and pouncing, saying, "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of him. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy him." And when Jesus breathed his last and was placed into the tomb, death sought to conceal and consume our Lord. Death sought to swallow Jesus whole. Yet I tell you that not even our greatest, most fierce enemy could consume our Lord. Not even death itself could swallow Jesus whole. For Jesus was not reduced by death to dust and ashes. But on the third day, when the women arrived at the tomb, they found the stone had been rolled away. When the disciples, Peter and John, peered into the tomb on Easter morning, they could see nothing except the grave clothes lying there and the face cloth of our Lord folded up neatly and placed to the side. Mary proclaims, "We have seen the Lord!" The angels cry out, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? I know you seek Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He is risen." The bonds of death tried to hold Jesus, but he shattered them. The grave tried to conceal our Lord, but he burst forth from the tomb. "Alleluia! Christ is risen! He has risen indeed! Alleluia!" Death has no mastery over him, for Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He has destroyed death, and he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has gained the victory over the enemy by never allowing it to swallow him whole. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Not only did our Lord Jesus Christ not allow his enemies to swallow him, but he did not allow the enemies to swallow his people, Israel, either. For while the Egyptians were pursuing Israel, seeking to overtake and divide and draw their sword and destroy them, while the enemy was seeking to swallow them whole, behold, Moses says, "You blew with your wind, and the sea covered them. You stretched out your hand and the earth swallowed them. And the moment before this happens, we are told what the enemies who think that they are stronger than Israel, we are told that they knew what was happening. They cry out, "Let us flee, for the Lord fights for his people." But by the time they realize that it is God who fights for his people, it is too late. They had been swallowed up in victory. And so too shall it be for your greatest, most fierce enemy, death. For the last enemy that is to be destroyed is death itself. Yes, you have stood at the foot of your loved one's bed. You have seen their breathing grow shallow and become labored, their heart rate slow, their eyes gloss over, and you have heard that sharp, distinctive, gurgling sound in the back of their throat. Yes, you have seen your enemy death standing over them with its mouth wide open, foaming, salivating, rubbing its hands together, clenching its fists, gritting its teeth, waiting to pounce, saying, "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, and my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them." Yes, you know that one day, death will do the same to you. But know this, your enemy does not win. For Christ blew with his wind and spirit, and your enemy was drowned in the mighty waters, the living waters of holy baptism. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him in baptism in order that just as Christ was raised from the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Christ blew with his wind and spirit, and the sea of blood and water that flowed from his side covered you, saying, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Christ blew with his wind and mighty outstretched arm that he extended for you at the Paschal feast, saying to you, "Take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you." And here, my dear saints, you have gained the victory over your enemy, for it has been given to you. Given to you in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are yours this day. Death does not triumph. Death is not the end of the story. For our Lord has fought for you with a mighty outstretched arm upon the cross and in the tomb. And he has emerged victorious on Easter morning, holding both life and salvation in the palms of his crucified and risen hands. And his promise to you is this, that whoever believes in him, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in him will never die. His promise is that death you cannot end. My gladness, I am baptized into Christ. When I die, I leave all sadness to inherit paradise. But even more than this, his promise is that everyone who looks to the Son, everyone who believes in Jesus, has eternal life, and God will raise them up on the last day. Jesus, his promise to you is that because he lives, you too shall live. Because the grave could not swallow him whole, so it shall not be able to swallow you whole either. Because death has no mastery over him, so no longer does it have mastery over you. Jesus' promise is that he shall return in the resurrection to eternal life. in his resurrected, glorified body, he shall return at the sound of the trumpet, and he will call you forth out of the ground. The dead will be raised imperishable, and this body, this perishable body, will be changed. You shall be changed. After your skin has been destroyed, yet in your flesh you shall see God with your own eyes. On that day, on the day of resurrection, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal body is changed to immortality, then, my dear saints, you shall look upon your greatest and most fierce enemy with your death-free, sin-cleansed, glorified eyes. And you shall see the saying that is written come to pass, fulfilled before your own eyes. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. This day and every day hereafter in our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever. For alleluia, Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. In Jesus' name, amen.